We're on the second message, and I heard Mom kicked it off the first one. So let's just say the third message. Hey, man, she's kicking off my series. I don't even know about it and everything. That's what your mama does. They just gonna take over. But I heard she ripped it up. Amen. So if you weren't here, you can always go online, get the messages, and you can also go out to the bookstore and you can get the messages. And so we're on a series called Faith Fight. Say it with me, Faith Fight. And so we started off last week, and I gave some basic foundational teaching on what a faith fight is. And we'll just review a couple of the key points from last week, and then we'll continue on. Amen? Good to see you, Brother Angel. Amen? One of our first points is that you are guaranteed as a believer, if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, you are guaranteed to have a faith fight. The only question is, will it be a good fight? The Bible says to fight the good fight. Somebody say the good fight. The good fight of faith. Amen. So how many know you're going to have a fight? You may not have had one yet, but you're going to have a faith fight. And the job of every believer is when you get in your faith fight, it's time for you to put up a good fight. Amen. Amen. Anybody like to see a good fight? Amen. Let's go to slide 3 here. Just key points. Faith, remember we defined faith. If we're going to have a faith fight, we need to know what faith is. We know in Hebrews 11 and 1, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But we broke it down in the Amplified, and it says faith is perceiving as a real fact what has not been revealed to your senses. Faith is perceiving as a real fact what has not yet been revealed to your senses. It actually gave a statement that it's like the title deed, meaning that you own it even when you're not in it. It's the paperwork on your ownership. You don't have to have it. You don't have to physically be there. It belongs to you because you have the paperwork. Faith is the paperwork on your healing. Faith is the paperwork on your breakthrough. Faith is the paperwork on your deliverance even before you have experienced it. Amen? So that means it, even though it hasn't been revealed to your senses, you own it. Amen? It's a real fact. Somebody say a real fact. Let's go to our next point here. So, one of the greatest enemies against your faith are your senses. One of the greatest enemies against your faith are your senses, or in other words, your mental faculties, right? Because of what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like, and one of those other mental faculties is that memory that says what happened the last time. You know, you've been through a lot. You know, if you've been through a divorce and you want to get married again, but the fear of what happened the last time is gripping you from moving forward. That's one of those mental faculties, one of those senses that is fighting against your faith. Amen. Let me just say this. Sometimes, you know, those of us that have gone through separations and divorces, and you know, people try to redefine what your definition of marriage is. Not everybody has the same definition of what love is, right? People say they love you and still punch you in the eye, you know? So that's, their love just includes a little abuse. So we don't have that same definition. And so when people try to redefine that, then it's like it tries to shape you. It tries to shift you out of the place that you know God would have you to be. And you want to get married, but, you know, it's like, man, I don't want to deal with all that again. And you don't want to use your faith anymore. You know, that thing tries to get you to stop using your faith to believe to get married because it make you feel that nobody loves like the way that you read it in the book and in the Bible. Am I talking to anybody? You know, and that's one of the things that I had to really let God work on my heart and use my faith. Marriage is a faith step. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's a step of faith. Brothers are like, I don't know if I got enough money. You know, everybody want a Louis Vuitton. Everybody want a 10,000 square foot house, you know. And a lot of brothers is like, I want to get married. It just costs too much. She look expensive. It's your brother. Say, brother, use your faith. All right, let me keep moving here. All right. Let's go to our next one, number 8 here. God expects his children to fight. He just doesn't want you to fight in the flesh. Yeah, God is one of those kind of daddies. He wants his kids to fight. He just don't want you to fight in the flesh. I'm just giving you just some brief points. So you have to go back and get this whole message. Trust me, this is not all of it, all right? God expects his children to fight. He just doesn't want you to fight in the flesh, okay? And then our last one here. The Bible says, blessed are those who suffer for righteousness' sake, or who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, right? But we have to make sure that your suffering is for righteousness and not foolishness. Many of us are going through persecution and we're waiting for the Lord to deliver us. He says, I can't deliver you from foolishness. Foolishness, the Bible says, a man's own ways and his own foolishness ruins his way and his heart rages against the Lord. We have a lot of people that think they're in a trial. We'll get to that in this series. I'm going to tell you the difference between a trial, an open door, and an attack. All three different things. There's so many people in trials or think they're in trials, and they really have an open door because they have been hard-headed and disobedient. God's not delivering you from that. You have to repent from that. Just think about how many people's faith has run out. They've left church because they felt like God forgot them because they thought they were being persecuted for righteousness and they were being persecuted for their own foolishness. The pastor's going to help you today. Amen? Oh, was that my last one? All right, let's rock. Let's go to James 1 and 2. James 1 and 2. Say you got it when you get there. I want everyone to turn there. This is going to be one of our foundational texts for today. We need to talk about these trials. We know we're going to have a faith fight. We know God expects us to fight. We talked last week about what the common faith fights are, right? But now we're going to talk about why God brings us through. Because I believe understanding is so key to having a successful faith fight. Amen? Let's see where the Lord takes us. You there? James 1 and 2? Let's read it together. Amen? My brethren, count it all what? Let's read it one more time. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, one thing you need to pay attention to is he says, my what? Brethren. So that means trials are for people who are saved. He wasn't talking to unbelievers. He was talking to people in the church who had received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and filled with the Holy Spirit and had the shalom peace of God over their life, who were under the hoopla of the Lord, covered in his blood. Come on. But he says, my brethren, count it what? All joy. That means keep your attitude right. When you fall into what? Various trials. What does number 3 say? Verse 3? Knowing. Say that with me. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what? Nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to who? Who? Not certain people. All people. And he gives it to him liberally. In other words, he doesn't hold back. And without reproach, and it will be given to him, but let him ask in what? Faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. So it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete and lacking nothing. Let's look up this word, temptations. If you're reading the King James Version, it says temptations. This word, temptations, here is the Greek word, that simply means by experiment of good, or putting to proof, by experiment of good, experience of evil, solicitation, discipline, and provocation. By implication, it means adversity. Say it with me, adversity. But the part I want you to pay attention to, which is this word that you see here, is trials. When you fall into various trials, in the King James original writing is the word temptation. It's the Greek word that means to put to proof by experiment of good, experiencing evil. To put to proof by experiment of good and the experience of evil or some form of adversity. And it says, knowing that the trying, that word trying, if you go to my next slide there, is the word dokimion. Dokimion. Say it with me. Dokimion. It means the testing by implication trustworthiness. To test someone's trustworthiness. Okay? To test someone's trustworthiness. So if we put these two Greek words together, if we were going to define trial, now we define faith. Faith is perceiving as a real fact what has not been revealed to the senses. If we're talking about a faith fight, which is generally a trial or a tribulation, let's put this in definition. If you go to my next slide here, it simply means a trial is an experiment where God's people experience evil and adversity to test the quality of their faith. It's an experiment, because that first word, it says to put to proof by what? Experiment. That means, anybody in here in trial right now? You're in a tribulation. At least you believe you are, and say, I believe I'm in a trial. I'm going through something right now. You are being proved. You're in the midst of an experiment. You're in the midst of an experiment. Now, there'll be a lot of hands raising here. Anybody been through a trial? Where you have been attacked, it didn't seem fair, it didn't seem right. You're like, where in the heck did this come from? You're like, I've been doing everything right. It seemed like the more I pray, the more I'm going through. The more I do right, the more I'm going through. I didn't go through none of this when I was in the world. But you're in the midst of an experiment where God's people, not the enemy's people, God's people experience evil and adversity to test the quality of their faith. Why? Key point. God does not trust people who don't trust him. God does not trust people who don't trust him. Why would he? Because a lot of times we're praying and asking God to take us to the next level. We're praying for him to bring us to our purpose. But you need to understand, your purpose is his kingdom assignment. And before he fully hands it to you, he needs to make sure you don't fumble the ball. So before I put this weight on you, I got to test you and put you in an experiment to see whether you can handle me, what you're asking for. I can't trust you if you don't trust me. Why would I put this kind of value in your hands, and I know you fumble the ball all the time? You get hit one time, the ball's coming up. God doesn't trust people who don't trust him. Listen, but look what the scripture says. We count it all joy knowing that the trying of our faith produces what? Patience. So check this out. When faith is tried, patience is produced. Now, last time I checked, patience is also one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's on the produce aisle in the spirit realm. Faith is on the produce aisle, and so the only thing that produces it is a trial. So the trying of your faith, it does what? It produces patience. Now, in this scripture, if you look at it in the King James Version, it says, let patience have her perfect work. But let patience have her perfect work. And in other words, patience is now personified in the Bible as a female who works. Now, anybody work with women? I work with a lot of women. Okay? And I do that because I'm smart. Because I understand, I follow Jesus's model. Jesus had disciples. Right? They were men. But there was another group that the scripture says that followed him everywhere he went. And it was a group of women that took care of his needs and handled all the detailed assignments that the disciples kept falling apart on. There's a reason he talked to Mary when he first got up from the grave. Because the first message couldn't be mishandled, and can't nobody spread news like a woman. Can't nobody tell it like a woman. The details. In other words, women like details. They're very detailed workers, and you need to get that. That's why there's no Proverbs 31 man. There's only a Proverbs 31 woman, because we like Proverbs 6. You know, We can handle six things at a time. She got 31 things in Proverbs 31 that she handles all at the same time, and it's all perfect. Okay? And so he says, if I have to personify patience, I can't make it a man. I'm going to let patience have her perfect work. And so here's the thing. You're going through your trial to produce patience, and patience is working. Patience is working. Let's look at it in the Amplified, this same passage. Let's look at it in the Amplified. But let endurance, steadfastness, go above that. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. Look what verse 4 says. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a what? Thorough work. A thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. So now we know what patience work is. Patience work is working on your defects so that you are not underdeveloped. Patience job is to make sure that while you go through this, you are being fully developed. We have too many underdeveloped believers trying to go to the next level. And I'm here to tell you, the next level call, they said, don't come up here unprepared. Don't come up here unprepared. Don't come up here without the tools and experience and skills you need with that same attitude. We're not taking it up here. So let patience have her perfect work. She's working you out because you got some defects. What kind of defects? Two defects the Lord gave me is character defects and personality defects. Character defects and personality defects. In other words, a lot of times we're trying to get to the next level, but we have character flaws and defects that will cause us not to fulfill God's ultimate purpose and plan on our life. And your wife been telling you, your husband been telling you, your teacher's been telling you, your mama been telling you, but you can't seem to hear anybody. So a trial has been set to work that thing out of you, to turn up the fire on your faith. Are you listening to me? And when fire turns up, everything that is bacteria rises to the top. It's the reason you boil water. Because a certain amount of heat kills everything that is bacteria. And some of us have bacteria in our character. We have bacteria in our personality. Anybody know some really saved people with a really bad personality? They have like this area, like you cool everywhere else. But every time this situation comes up, this person reverts to this type of behavior. And it's a self-defeating behavior, a self-defeating personality trait. And somebody's got to get it out. And God, listen, don't you know God is not about to have people in heaven with bad attitudes? Think about it. Think about all the saved people you know with terrible attitudes. You think they're going to get to heaven and be in heaven with a bad attitude? You know your soul goes with you to heaven, right? That's the seat of your personality. So imagine being in heaven with folks with bad attitudes. That has to get out. Somebody say defects. Okay, now here's the thing about patience that you need to know about her. You ready? Patience is working on character defects and personality defects. That word work is the word fashion. It means to basically shape or mold completely so that you are free from defects and underdevelopment. So when patience is having its work, while you're in the trial, getting to your next destiny, it is shaping you and it is molding you. And that's why it is so uncomfortable. Now, here's the thing you got to understand about patience. You ready for it? Patience is a perfectionist. She's a perfectionist. Anybody ever work with a perfectionist? And every little detail? My staff don't know anything about that. They have to tell me, Pastor, don't worry about that, because I'm really meticulous. But a lot of women are very meticulous. Every hair must be in place. If you're not sure if your wife's a perfectionist, just watch her put on makeup. Watch her do her hair. Watch her when she's preparing for her children. Everything needs to be perfect. Kids, have you ever had your mom come and review something that you did? And you thought you were so proud, I want to show you my room. And they walk in and this. And did you forget this over here? Why do you find everything wrong? Because she's a perfectionist. And patience is a perfectionist with you. And when you think you're ready to get out, they say, no, this. And did you forget about this over here? So you got to let patience have its perfect work because she's a perfectionist and she always does a thorough job. And any defect or underdevelopment that she sees, she says, you're not ready yet. Somebody say, let patience have its perfect work. So all this time, you have been waiting for God to work for you and have not considered that patience was working on you. Why is my trial so long? Lord, why am I having to wait? I've been standing in faith. Well, you need to pray. I've been praying. You need to confess the word. I've been confessing the word. Well, you need to count it all joy. I've been happy as long as I can be happy. You need to sing in the midnight hour. I've been singing at midnight. I've done all your word, Lord. You know how we say, well, I've done all your word, Lord. And the Lord hit me with this. And you know, for those of you who know, I'm going through my own personal trial right now with my healing and all that and believing God. And God dropped something on me. Are you ready for this? He said, God isn't late. Patience isn't done. God isn't late. It's just that patience isn't done. Get this. God is waiting on patience. Patience will inform him he's done. All right, come on. All he's got to do is check the produce on you. No, not ready. And we'd be ready to quit on God because we felt like he's late, but there's somebody working on you, the mechanic named Patience, and she's telling you, I'm still working on the muffler. I'm still working on the attitude. I'm still working on their relationship. I'm still working on forgiveness. I'm still working on their integrity right now. There's still a little flaw. They're cool everywhere else, but when these tight situations come up, they'll do it. So let's turn up the fire and let's do it again. It's not quite right. She's spending her time getting out all the defects. If patience doesn't finish her work, then you are found lacking. You don't want to be at the next level looking for a tool you never got on the last level. It makes no sense, think about it, to go through hell and still come out lacking. That's like showing up. You went through hell on your last trial. Anybody been through hell? Anybody been through something that's like, man, this is just over the top. I cannot take anymore. And then you notice every time you say you can't take anymore, more comes. Because patience is saying, oh, you just don't know. Let us help you out. But it doesn't make any sense to go through hell and come out empty handed. At least when Jesus went through hell, he came out with keys. So why should you go through hell and not come out with keys? The Bible says he had the keys to both death and Hades. In other words, I hear the Holy Ghost. When you come through a trial, you have keys to it. That means you own it. I can go back through it anytime I want to because I own it. When Jesus went through death and hell, he came out with the keys to death and hell. So when you go through trial, You should come out with the keys to that trial. The next season requires skills and experience and fortitude that you have to get on this level. Let's look at this. Romans 5 and 3. Let's continue talking about this. Let's jump right in. And it says, and not only so, and we're catching it in the middle. Do we need to read verse 1 and 2? Yeah. All right, let's read at least 2. Therefore, being justified by faith. Or go to 1. Let's go to 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace. Access by faith into this grace, where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in what? Also, look, there's a colon at the end of that. We glory in tribulation. Sounds like we count it all joy. Say it with me. We count it all what? When we fall into diverse temptations, right, and trials. This one says we glory in tribulations, also what? Knowing that tribulations worketh patience. Now you know why it's so long. Now you know why he didn't show up right away. Now you know why when you gave that one eloquent prayer, anybody you've been praying and then you have that one eloquent prayer when you was really under the anointing, you'd be like, surely this is the prayer that's going to call down heaven. Like, oh, I know he heard me now. And then tomorrow, it's right there again. Like, Lord, you didn't hear my prayer. No, I heard you. She's not done yet. And you notice like while you're in a trial, there are certain revelations that will visit you. And it's like, oh man, the lights came on. And then you pray. And then another revelation hits you. And then you pray. And with the prayer lets God know, it's like, oh, they're getting it. He's getting it, but keep on coming. She's not done yet. We just got rid of one defect. We just got rid of another defect. Maybe during your spiritual surgery, God is running repetitive MRIs to see what's still in you. Oh, we got rid of the mass. We got rid of that defect. We got rid of that spiritual tumor. It's almost in full remission. And every time you cry out to the Lord and worship him, he gets to find out what's in you, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the way you talk to him lets him know what's in your heart. Am I helping anybody? She's just not done yet. It says, glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, we talked about tribulation. We talked about worketh, which means to fashion and develop. We understand patience, but I want to focus on the word knowing, because we've seen it twice. You see that? The first one says, count it all joy, my brother, when you fall into various trials and temptations, knowing that patience shall have a perfect work. And this one says, glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So maybe your ability to glory in a trial, key point, is based upon what you know. Your ability to glory and be happy in a difficult time is based on what you know. If you don't know that the trial is supposed to produce patience and patience is working, then all you can do is get frustrated and quit. Like if you didn't know you were in an experiment, then I can see why you stopped singing and stopped lifting your hands. When you understand, listen, I'm in the midst of a trial, which means God is experimenting on me, which means I qualified for this. This didn't just come upon me. God had to give them permission to persecute me, because I was doing what I was supposed to be doing in the right place at the right time, doing your will and word, and this thing came, tried to attack me, which means God must have found me qualified, because he'll never put more on me than I can bear, which means he must have saw something in me that says he can handle it. He just don't know it yet. She can handle it. They just don't know it yet. It's based on what you know. I used to love this TV show back in the day called G.I. Joe. And y'all remember them public service announcements? I don't know if they still have them anymore. But in between the cartoons, they would say, "And knowing is half the battle." Am I taking it back too far? In my G.I. Joe fans, like, I don't know what these cartoons they got now, but G.I. Joe, they would say, "And knowing is half the battle." Yo, Joe, y'all remember? We had real cartoons back then. Cartoons with a message. But they would say, "Knowing is half the battle." And maybe that's true in the spirit, is knowing is half the battle. When you know that I'm in this because of an experiment, and he's experimenting to see the quality of my faith, then maybe I won't cut short my worship because things aren't going my way. When you know patience is at work, you can have joy in adversity, realizing that God is shaping you for your next level. Your attitude hasn't been right because you didn't know patience was at work. You just thought God was late. See, we have seen trials and attacks as God has forgotten me instead of God is mindful of me. It's based on what you know. So if your current situation makes you feel isolated and like God has forgotten you, that means you don't understand the experiment you're in, because you wouldn't have gotten it unless he was thinking about you. Job, listen, God went through what he went through because God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" When Peter went through and Satan asked, the Bible says, Peter, Satan has asked for you. To sift you as wheat. He says, "But I'm praying that your faith doesn't fail." Peter, you have just been qualified for an experiment. And I have found you ready. You have permission to be persecuted for my name's sake. See, the disciples knew this. Because remember when they got scourged and beaten by the council, the Bible says they came out giving glory to God because they were found worthy to suffer for his name. The reason that they could sing in jails is because they understood it was the experiment. They understood, they knew something that today believers don't know. So that's why they could sing at midnight. They could be beaten and praise God. "Oh, thank you, Lord, that I was worthy to receive stripes for your name." That sounds crazy. Not when you know. And knowing is half the battle. Your attitude hasn't been right because you didn't know patience was a work. Patience gives you experience. Somebody say experience. Experience only comes with time. Anybody graduate from college? Raise your hand and graduate from college. All right. You remember when you got your degree and you graduated and you went to that job and you said, "Oh, and can't nobody stop me now. I got a bachelor's degree." And then you sent out resume 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. You know, you even thought you was a little better than folks. Go on a minute. You showed up. You thought you was a little bit better. And then that older brother showed up in the same interview with no degree, and you would ask him, "Oh, what school did you graduate?" "Oh, I didn't graduate from college." You just put your nose in the air like. But you don't know he's been doing what you were doing for 25 years. He holds your little degree, and I'm not knocking it. It's good and all, but that's in his pinky finger. He got that. And what happens is you go into the interview and say, "Oh, we're looking for a little more experience. You got your degree, but you need some time. You haven't put this to work yet." See, God gives you an opportunity to experience what you've been learning. Yeah, you've been sitting under the word, but we got to experience this thing. So you don't have no experience. You're a little soft. You're a little tender. And I need you to harden up. And so we got to test this theory of faith that you have, and we got to put it to work. So patience is going to give way to experience. And so in order to get experience, you got to spend some time. That's another reason your trial is so long. See, some of us who don't get immediate deliverance, we stop serving, we quit singing, we stop praying. Because we're waiting for a miracle. And the Lord told me to tell you, trials are not designed for miracles. God delivers, yes. God defends. God's going to show forth his mighty hand. But the purpose of a trial is not for the miraculous. The miracles are assigned to what? Unbelievers. But Paul said, my brethren, which means he was talking to believers. It doesn't mean you can't have a miracle. I'm just letting you know that miracles are not, if you are miraculously delivered in a trial, then God is messing up his own experiment. Those ingredients don't belong in that experiment. They should not be in the petri dish. See, I'm not talking to you from theory. I'm talking to you from experience. Are you listening to me? Some of us, listen, he said, be joyful because patience is at work. Okay, so personal testimony time. Y'all know I've been working through, for those of you who don't know, I had a herniated disc at L5. All right? And so herniated disc, they can cause something called spinal stenosis. Spinal stenosis is when your vertebrae is closing in on your spinal cord. So all this time that I thought my hip was just sore, it was spinal stenosis, which sends weakness to your muscles, to your quads, to your glutes, to your hams, to your knees. So remember when I broke my toe? It's because my knee gave out. When I thought my hip was moving like this and all that, and I was like, oh, I just got to loosen up my hip. No, it was a spinal cord issue. Are you listening to me? It had been going off and on for some years, but it really hit like last November, okay? And it's been difficult. And so what I thought was a muscular issue was really a spinal cord issue. And how many know your spinal cord's kind of important? Okay, so when you're having spinal cord issues, that affects a lot of things up and down your body. So you remember when I started this, remember I got the spots on my face, remember that? All right, and some of them are still there, but for the most part, they've gone away. But there's a part in your vertebrae that controls that, and if it's out of place, it can cause eczema. Remember when I started sweating excessively? I know I was preaching and I was sweating, but there was a time where I started sweating excessively, like just standing still. But there's a part in your spinal cord that if it's touched, it'll control your sweating. Are you listening to me? Then I stopped being able to run and all these kinds of things. And so I'm just giving you like what's going on. All right. They thought I might have had MS, and praise God, didn't have that, because that was not a part of the experiment. He said, no, we're not going to put it in there. We're just going to allow this to happen because this is a man of great faith. But the trying of your faith is not the God kind of faith. It's your personal faith. I said, Lord, you know, I've done all these great things for your kingdom. I've done this. Surely your servant who's been preaching your word and such and so forth and doing this and the other for the kingdom and taking down buildings and doing $15 million in deals and all this kind of thing. Surely this great faith. He says, son, that's great. You're right. But that was my faith. See, because the God kind of faith is for kingdom assignments, but trials are about your personal faith. So you're developed in the God kind of faith, but I got to develop your faith. And there's things in you, son, that I need to deal with. Of course, I can miraculously heal you. You've already seen me do it. And I'm wondering, like, Lord, why don't you do this miraculous healing like you did the last time? He said, because if I did it immediately, it wouldn't change you. I got to let patience have her perfect work. And she's a perfectionist. So we're going to sit through this one. And November will be a year. Listen to me. Am I talking to anybody in here? So I had to think about it. And then when I got this, I started praising God. Not that I wasn't before, but I started praising him because I know. When I knew and I understood, I said, wait a minute. I started praising God. Are you ready for this? That he didn't deliver me instantaneously. I said, Father, I thank you that this wasn't immediate. Because it demanded another intensity in my prayer life. It demanded another intensity in the word. I would scour the word and spend time in your word to find out what is going on. I would be consulting the Holy Spirit about what was going on. And not that I didn't seek the Lord before, but when you can't get up out of bed and you can't run and play with your son, it does something to the inside of you. When you've always been athletic and agile and sometimes have trouble balancing, It requires something. And I'm saying, Lord, bring me out of this. And I'm thinking, Lord, you know, are you forgetting about me? I'm realizing patience was working. Because here's what I found out. You know, one of my greatest fears was to leave here early like my dad. At 53 years old on equipment, on a treadmill, unexpectedly. So that fear had gripped my eyes. I said, Father, I want to make sure I'm here for my family and my wife and my children. And I want to make sure I'm here for my church because we got a lot of work to do. And so I'm praying about that and I'm asking him for that. But while I was doing it, I still had terrible eating habits. And we want to spiritualize. See, I found this out. You can't pray salt out of a pig. You can't do it. It don't work. I tried. You can't pray carcinogens out of ribs. You can't do that. Let's be real. When you're having spinal cord issues, it can affect your marriage. Okay, can I just be transparent? Things are going on. And so what ended up happening while I'm waiting on the Lord, it was exposing some weaknesses in my marriage. And my wife and I had to fix some things and really talk and be intimate and really have real conversation and had this situation not happen and it changed immediately. That defect could have still been there. And who knows when it would have showed up. Are you listening? Y'all seen me trim up and everything? I've been vegan for the last 60 days. But amen. And I don't think I'm going back. I mean, it could happen, but I'm not just. But I lost 15 pounds in 2 weeks. But let's be real. If God had healed me in 2 months, I would have never changed my diet. And then it hit me. And I was sharing with Pastor Wells. We were in prayer. And I said, man, Paul asked God to remove he asked him to remove the thorn and he said, no, he said, my grace is sufficient. And that word sufficient means to defend, which means that while I may be hurt in this one area, changing my diet could have defended me from my worst fear. But if he had healed me immediately, if it was miraculous, patience wouldn't have had her perfect work. I'm like, Lord, when are you going to do this? And then he started bringing, I said, Father, I want to be used for healing and do these things. He said, yes. He says, but you got to have compassion. And guess what? When I was a teenager, I used to laugh at people who had walking issues. People who had the one shoe. People who couldn't control stuff. I'm being real. Yeah, God saved me. That was a long time ago. But was the defect still there? And then now that the thing has come upon me, guess what it did to my heart? Compassion. They can't walk by me without stopping and getting my complete undivided attention. And I pray with all my heart. My heart breaks for them because I know I'm coming out. But I said, Lord, but what about them? He says, patience is having her perfect work. If I had delivered you too quick, you may not have had that level of compassion. You haven't had to consider how far your parking space is from the store. When little old ladies open the door for you, because they're not sure if you're okay. When people think that you may be handicapped and you're not. And I could have easily got the sign, but I refused to get the sign because that's a mindset that I can't let myself slip into. I understand that this trial is for a season, it's temporary. I'm just letting patience have her perfect work. So my body's been healed. My marriage is stronger than ever. It was strong before, but it's stronger than ever. Are you listening to me? And it's all because of a season I'm going through. And now that I know that it's patience having her perfect work, guess what? I get to sing and glorify God, not that he's bringing me out, but that he decided to let me go through. I thank you, God. Humility. Can I just, when you talk about wondering what you're going to look like as you walk to the podium, are you listening to me? Having to do the grand opening in Crocs because your toe was broken. And having to say, you know what, I'm going to have to preach my face off anyway. You have to get to that place that this is not about me. That's shifting you. The mental work that this thing has had. And y'all ain't never seen me complaining or crying or nothing like that. But my wife knows some of the things that I've cried about. And I know that she's cried looking at me sometimes. And my kids have had to help me not being able to carry your wife up the stairs. Brother, let me tell you. When she's used to you being the man, come on, can I keep it? I'm being transparent because I know some of you are going through and you have not considered the value of going through a trial. And sometimes we get this speedy deliverance. We know God is able to do us suddenly. But I thank God for this one. Oh, I thank God for this one because he's preparing me for the next level. He says, son, you asked me to get you ready for the next season. But you didn't know that this thing was what the next season is going to require. I know, so I got to get you ready. Let patience have her perfect work. Can I finish this? He says, you don't get to use the gift of faith for this trial. We're working on your personal faith. This is the trying of your faith. See, the Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. You have faith, but it ain't finished yet. And a trial is the finishing fire. Authored, which means he wrote some things down concerning your faith. Are you listening? He authored it, but who said your faith was finished? Catch this. 2 Peter 1, 5 and 8. We're going to stop right here. I'm going to give you 2 points and I'm done. 2 Peter 1, 5, and 8. God is authoring your faith, and in his book concerning your faith, there's some things that are to be added to it. You there? 2 Peter 1 and 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, read this with me, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Think about this. My faith was being tested, and the patience, what does it say is added to patience? It says what? Go back to patience. He added to patience godliness. Because I had to be patient, it made me more godly. And as soon as I got more godly, guess what happened? I got more kind to my brother. I started considering what he was going through more. Because humility makes godliness. And when you got to wait on him, and everybody who knows you're a great man of faith is waiting to see your faith work. Come on, come on. But look what it says. It says, add to it. Go back to the first one. Go to 5. He says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We're going to just look at add and virtue. The word add is a Greek word. Put it on the screen. It's epikoreagio. Epikoreagio. It means to furnish besides or to fully supply. But you see that word that says NT5524? You see that there? NT5, that means New Testament. In other words, that's two words, epi and choreagio. The NT5524, which we'll look at next week, is choreagio. It's where we get the word choreography. Choreography. In other words, it's talking about dance leader. The one who choreographs your faith. Are you with me? It says, in other words, your faith fight, God is choreographing your faith, exercising your faith, which lets you know faith is your primary spiritual muscle. So flex it. A trial gives you an opportunity to flex your faith. He's saying, I exercise your faith so I can add to the muscle. And what I want to add to it, the first thing I need to add to your faith is virtue. All right? Listen to me close. The word virtue is where we get the word valor. But the Greek word for it is where we get the word manliness from. Do I have that one there? Okay, I didn't put that one up there. It's a Greek word that refers to manliness. So he says, I'm going to exercise your faith so I can add to it manliness. Key point. God wants to add manliness to your faith. The reason you're going through is because your faith is not man enough yet. You got to understand that he has designed you and developed you to contain and to carry his glory. Amen? The Bible says we suffer so that we can go through glory. That the suffering we're going through now is not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now understand this. The word glory is the Greek word doxa, which means weight. In other words, in order for God to put his glory on you, he has to test your faith to see if it can actually carry the weight of his glory. He has to find out if you're man enough to carry the glory. Even if you're a woman, your faith has to be manly. So the first thing he wants to add to it is manliness. And the only way to do that is to exercise. So he has a choreography you need to learn in order for you to go from faith to faith. The next level of faith is now you got manly faith. So the first thing you add to it is virtue. So I can test to see. Let's see, you work out. Anybody work out? And then every so often during your workout, you have to max out to find out where you are. Max out is when you put the most weight that you can do to see if you can do it without a spot. And you find out whether you're getting stronger. Your trial is your max date. To find out if you've learned your choreography. To find out if you have, let's see you flex your faith right now. We've seen you working on this muscle. Let's flex it and see how big it is. Because the weight of glory I have for you in your future is heavy. So let's make sure that your character can handle my glory. Let's make sure your personality can handle my glory. Let's see if patience has had her perfect work. And if you've been diligent enough to sit there, still smile, still praise God, still come to church, still be faithful, still be nice, still be kind, still be cool with your brother and your sister while you're going through. Not act nasty with them because things are not going your way. Because if you can't handle that, how can you handle my glory? Because what you're under is not heavier than my glory. He'll never put more on you than you can bear. He wants to know, can you handle it? Give the Lord a hand praise. I'm out of time.
Thank you for listening. We're out of time. To enjoy more teaching, visit JaronCO'Neill.com or listen to Jaron C. O'Neill Podcast on all of your favorite platforms. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday morning celebration and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. for Rock With Me Wednesday Bible study. Watch us live on the Fountain Church app or Facebook Live. And you can also watch us on FountainChurch.com. We look forward to seeing you soon. Until then, remember, everything you need is in the fountain.